Happy New Year. Really, Happy New Year. Can we try this again? Happy New Year. You may be confused because the church year and the secular year are out of sync. Here at church, we measure time differently. Not by the astronomical or meteorological seasons, the seasons that orient us to the sun and the moon and the weather. Not even by the consumerological seasons, which spell check assures me is not a word. The consumerological seasons orient us to what we are supposed to buy. Here at church, we orient ourselves to the Christological seasons. How different times orient us to Christ. Today we begin Advent, the season of anticipation and waiting for the coming of Christ. So first, what does Advent mean? Any thoughts? Coming, exactly. Advent means to come. It's the coming. In these 4 weeks, we celebrate the coming of Christ. You'll also note that I said coming of Christ, not coming of Jesus. Usually those terms are interchangeable. People rarely give a second thought to which one they utter. And indeed, what we talk about on the first Sunday of Advent is really one of the only times that precision here truly matters. What's the difference, you may ask? Well, remember, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah or anointed. The Jews were waiting the Messiah, the anointed one of God. When Jesus was born in Nazareth, some came to understand that he was the Messiah, the Christ. Today, we call ourselves Christian. So Jesus is the historical manifestation of the Christ. You see, in Advent, we're actually anticipating Christ's coming in three very distinct ways. I usually like to think of it as anticipating Christ in three different tenses. We're anticipating Christ in the past, the present, and the future. Remember, I said that Jesus is the historical manifestation of the Christ, the past. So Jesus is the manifestation of Christ that we remember in the past in Advent. That's an easy one. We celebrate the birth of a baby in time who would come to teach and preach and heal, disrupting power systems and showing us the depth of love. We also prepare our hearts and minds for the Christ to be born in us in the present, in our current context. Today, I think people would call this the spirit of Christmas, or some might even call it being born again. It's a spiritual awakening in one's being which causes one to align oneself with Jesus' mission and values. When you feel yourself compelled to make sure that people are included, when your faith motivates you to spend your time advocating for justice, you are experiencing Christ present, Christ here and now. We'll engage with both of those ideas of Christ, Christ past and Christ present, more in the weeks to come. But Advent is structured kind of like an inverted pyramid. Today we celebrate the third and the hardest to understand, the top of the widest part of the pyramid, the future coming of Christ, sometimes called the second coming, but which I think is best understood as the homecoming of Christ. The next 2 weeks, the focus narrows then. If that's the widest, it narrows to the coming of Christ in our lives, and then we narrow further yet to celebrate the historical Jesus. Now, to unpack the homecoming of Christ, we have to unpack our distance or separation from him. Have you ever noticed that Advent and adventure have the same root? They both ultimately point to an arrival. In every adventure, we celebrate an arrival. Whether it's Joseph and Mary on their trek to Bethlehem, Odysseus on his journey back home to Ithaca, Bilbo's adventure in The Hobbit, Luke's travels in Star Wars, or even Scrooge's threefold adventure in Dickens' Christmas Carol. A good story needs an arrival. But beyond these destinations lies something that's even more eternal. The arrival home. All of the characters I just named, Joseph and Mary, Odysseus, Bilbo, Luke, even Scrooge, all anticipate an arrival home in the end. Indeed, their adventures truly cease at home's threshold, where rest awaits. Whether it's to return or to go looking for it, home is the ultimate destination in every adventure. It's the site of new beginnings. But of course, each and every one of those characters that I named, who's truly had an adventure, is truly changed when they come home. And so, too, it is with Advent. Let's take a closer look at our gospel for today. You'll notice that our passage comes from nowhere near the Christmas story. No, today we're focused on a different coming of Christ. In Luke 21, 25 through 36, we first hear that there will be signs in the moon and the stars, distress among nations, and people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming in the world. Does it feel like every week I stop at some point in the sermon and say, this could be written this week? From wildfires to Saudi Arabia to climate change to the opioid crisis to children at the border, there are signs in the natural world and distress among nations. And people are weary with fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. To this, our scriptures say, now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When there's calamity and chaos, calamity and chaos. The gospel says, perk up, because you're almost home. If any of you are car sleepers like I am, this makes sense. I fall asleep whenever we drive more than 20 minutes. But despite the fact that I fall asleep at the drop of a hat, there's always something that wakes me up right before our exit. I'm sure it's something about changing speed, slowing down, that wakes me up. But I think of it now when the gospel says, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Really, at the centerpiece of the beginning of Advent is that last phrase. Your redemption is drawing near. What does it mean to be redeemed? When do we use that term elsewhere in society? Usually I talk about using coupons, but when I was teaching this in YCA on Sunday, one of the youth pointed out that we redeem gift cards, so that just shows how old I am. Nonetheless, it's the same idea. We redeem coupons and gift cards, and when we do that, we bring them back to their originator, to their creator. We bring them home. What it means to be redeemed in a religious context is that we are finally brought home, finally back where we belong. Like all of the characters that I named in all of the great adventures, we have changed, but we are finally back where we belong. Our gospel today tells us that when heartache and suffering and unfathomable chaos is upon us, we are to wake up because we are getting close to home. All of these stories I named, Joseph and Mary, The Odyssey, The Hobbit, Star Wars, A Christmas Carol, they're all stories of redemption because they're all stories of coming home. Some literal, but all figurative. All stories of coming back to where you are supposed to be. And that, my friends, that is the nature of the second coming. It's not a weird harvesting of the 144,000 righteous souls in which we'd better hope that all airline pilots are unrighteous. When there are horrors around us and we're drawn closer to home, closer to being the people God created us to be, then we're celebrating our redemption. The UCC's motto that we've had proudly displayed on that giant banner outside of our building for a decade now, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. That is a call to redemption. It's saying you're almost home, and we'd be honored to help you find your way. And so, Advent. Advent is our annual invitation to come home, to recenter our lives on our true home, not your street address, but in the loving, supporting, and even challenging arms of God's love. Advent is a call to come back to our best selves, our true nature, our deepest values and beliefs. You've all heard by now that former President George H.W. Bush died on Friday. His best friend and Secretary of State James Baker was at his side through many of his last days. Baker reports that in one of their last conversations, Bush asked, "Where are we going, Bake?" when Baker entered the room. Baker responded, "We're going home, George. We're going home." St. Augustine said it another way. He's famous for having said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." Our hearts are restless until we're home. But unlike James Baker's beautiful reassurance on his friend's deathbed, home doesn't have to be on the other side of the grave. I'm reminded of this story. Two men sat next to one another on a train. The younger one was obviously nervous. He said he was going home for the first time in 3 years, but he wasn't sure if his family would welcome him there. He had come out to them, and then heated words had been exchanged, and he had been cast out. The young man told his seatmate that he had written home, telling his parents that he wanted to come home, but he wasn't sure if he would be welcome. Since he would be able to see their house from the train, he asked them to tie a white scarf to the porch if he was welcome. As they approached his parents' property, he said that he couldn't bear to look as they neared the house. "Will you look for me?" he asked his seatmate as he closed his eyes. The older man looked and said, "Open your eyes." Tied to every window, every fence, every tree, from the house to the train tracks, were white sheets and scarves and ribbons blowing in the wind. Everywhere the man could see were white scarves beckoning him home. Friends, your Advent preparations may not be as elaborate as welcoming home an estranged family member, but they might be. I challenge you this Sunday to make an effort to get spiritually closer to home this season. Not necessarily the rituals and beliefs of your childhood, but rather closer to your spiritual home, closer to being the person that God created you to be. Make an effort this season to get closer to God by realigning yourself with God's priorities and values and commitments. In doing so, I promise you that not only will your redemption draw near, all the rest of your holiday will fall into place too. You see, when we are in the loving arms of God's embrace, that which is truly important rises to the surface, and everything else finds its way home too. Alleluia and amen.